Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea, I don't know, if, are we still playing? Is it still added on time? At the moment it's Chelsea 2, Wolves 4 at Stamford Bridge. Absolutely shambolic performance and result. Everyone's not happy, I'm not happy, and we're going to be talking about it today. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about, I don't want to say who played well, because that's not very, I don't think that's a long conversation. But I think everyone's probably a bit frustrated. That's two defeats on the trot now, 8 goals conceded in 2 games. It's not good enough. And I know everyone's going to be angry and frustrated, and that's understandable. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts on what needs to happen now, and on players, on the manager, and the manager's future obviously is being talked about. We want to hear your views, and we want to hear them respectfully. We want to hear them politely. We may all have different views. We're all a bit emotional. So let's all, I think it's important that we all, that we're all kind of respect each other's views and keep it to friendly conversation. I understand people are going to be emotional. That's totally fine. I'm quite emotional right now myself. I'm not happy about it at all. But let's just keep it civil and have some healthy dialogue about what needs to happen with Chelsea. So what we want to do, we want to get anyone who wants to speak, please do come up, request, and we'll bring you up and have a conversation. We're hoping to get some guests up here. We're hoping to get Chelsea Rambles, potentially Simon Phillips maybe as well. We're going to come in the next hour, I hope. So we get to get their views. But if you want to speak, if you want to have your say, we want to hear from you. So you just have to request, and we'll be able to bring you up. So while we're doing that, I'll just go through the game. Chelsea actually took the lead in the game. Cole Palmer with another goal. He's having a really good season. I think that's his 12th goal of the season now. Having a very, very good season. So that was a good start, but it only took 3 minutes for it to go wrong. We conceded an equaliser only 3 minutes later. And that was kind of the beginning of the downfall. Then we conceded another goal just before half time. Second half, we come out and it was more of the same. Then Pochettino took off Caicedo for Nicholas Jackson, and immediately we conceded from a counter-attack, which could have been stopped by Caicedo if he'd been on the pitch. Chelsea got a second goal with Thiago Silva from a corner, that was pretty much it. So Chelsea have lost. Now, I think the final score is up. Chelsea have lost the game. It's a bad result. It's a bad result. It's not good, and I'm not happy about it. And I don't think you guys are happy about it either. Chelsea have lost 4-2. That's official. It's Chelsea's first defeat against Wolves in the Premier League at home since 1979. The first time Chelsea have lost at home to Wolves since 1979. 45 years. We haven't lost at home to Wolves, and we have today. We've had a tweet from Bell Silver as well, saying that something needs to happen, something needs to change, and that probably tells you a bit about how the dressing room are feeling, to be quite honest. Certainly how Thiago Silva is feeling right now. It's not good. I'll just share what I've got to say, but I really want to hear from you guys. Please do feel free to come up and share your views. I know you've probably got things to say. So please do request to come up. We've got some good people here, actually, as well. I'd love to hear from some of you. Dev and Vivek, I know you guys. I'd love to hear what you've got to say. We're looking to hopefully getting Rambles here soon as well. Here he is. Rambles, just adding Rambles as a speaker. I'll just say what I'm feeling. I've kind of had enough. I'm normally a very patient guy. I like to give managers time to implement their philosophy and to build their team and implement their tactics and things. I don't like making managerial changes. I'm desperate for some stability at Chelsea. But I'm at my breaking point right now. I'm kind of, I think a lot of people are. It's getting to the point where I don't know what else, and I've said before that it's not, that is not the biggest problem at the club. I've said before in other spaces that we've done that we need new sporting directors, we need a new football structure at the club, we need a world-class sporting structure at the club, and it's just not there at the moment. But I'm getting a bit tired of seeing players wasted, talented players not being used properly, like Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo, and just other players that are just not, to me, being used properly, and don't seem to have, there doesn't seem to be any kind of tactical plan either, especially the last couple of games. And so I'm a bit, I'm kind of a bit of a loss of what else to say. Something needs to change, something needs to happen. I think Pochettino's clearly he's lost the fan base, judging by the reaction at the stadium. I don't think that's, and even the most rational fans that I know, the most sensible fans, are now want to change. So it's getting to that point. I haven't said the phrase yet, but I'm close to it. Something has to change at the club very, very soon. And it's not just the manager. Other things have to change at the club. It's not good enough. So rambles. What are your thoughts?
Like you, I'm a very patient fan. I do believe, we need stability. I don't like calling for managers' heads, but I think it has got to the stage, sadly, where Pochettino does need to go. I think he is out of his depth, sadly. He's not very good tactically, and I think he's being shown up by other managers. You can make a point, we've got a young squad, we lack experience, blah, blah, blah. But we should be doing better than we are with the squad we have available. Certainly in away games, our away record is absolutely appalling. If we're so bad away from home, why not change to a 3-4-3, 3-5-2? Make us more difficult to beat. There are things he should be doing to make us tougher to beat. We're just so easy to play against, and he doesn't change anything. The changes are always very like for like. And for me, it's just nowhere near good enough.
And I mean, like Moises Caicedo was one of the best midfielders in the league last season, like for Brighton. He was superb. Enzo Fernandez, we know how talented he is. Obviously, we know Cole Palmer is a top young talent. We know Nkunku is a top talent. We've seen how good Gusto can be this season. We've got a lot of talent, and I don't, and I just don't think that it's being used properly, like you say, that tactically we're not. Pochettino, we knew Pochettino wasn't a tactical genius when we hired him. Let's put it that way. We hired him because he's good at developing young players. That's why we hired him. But he's not doing that. Like, the players are not developing. And I mean, yeah, it's, and he's a great man manager. I don't doubt that as well. Like, I mean, he's got a lot of qualities. I don't dislike Pochettino. But it's just not going to work at Chelsea, I don't think. The fans are never going to, he's never going to win over the fans. It's just how it is, unfortunately. So, good points, Rambles. I'm going to bring some more people up. So we've got Forza Chelsea. I'm going to get him up, and we're going to hear from him. And then we've got another, then we've got Frank, who's there. We'll get him up in a minute as well. But it's, I think all that, what I'm seeing all over Twitter today, if that's a gauge of what the fan base feel, and certainly judging by the stadium reaction, it might be, then I think his days are numbered. So, Forza Chelsea, what are your thoughts?
Good morning, good evening, whichever part of the world everybody is. I just woke up to this absolute shambles from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Again, my thoughts are the same that as they have been for months now. I think the little purple patch that we went on was a myth. It papered over the cracks. It was a bandage over a massive wound, and something has to change. I mean, there's issues with in all three areas, and that includes squad, that includes manager, that includes the ownership. But I think the biggest blame right now has to be on the manager. I completely agree with you, Square. I've been disagreeing with you for quite a while, but what you just said about Palmer, Nkunku, Gusto, Enzo, Caicedo, these are talented players, and they are way, way better than what we're seeing. And I mean, this is something's got to change. Something has to change. Some sort of winning mentality, identity needs to come back, because I honestly fear the worst. I'm not a very pessimist person, but I fear the worst. It's two straight seasons of mediocrity. We keep signing the last three managers now. It's been, they've been mediocre appointments. I personally thought that Poch was an upgrade on Potter and Lampard. I thought he was a bit of an upgrade, and I was excited. But how wrong was I? It's the biggest L that I've taken in a while. I stuck my neck out, and we look atrocious. We don't have Europe. I don't think we realize how shocking we are to be 10th place without Europe. We were 10th last season with Europe. We don't have Europe now. He's got a week to prepare every game, and we're 10th. It's shocking. I think we might get absolutely slaughtered in the cup final. The fabric of Chelsea is being stripped away. Let's not pretend otherwise. Yeah. There's a lot I can say. Yeah. I mean, I'm half asleep, but I watched that, and I'm tired of waking up at 7 a.m. to watch this.
Yeah, no, I feel so. I feel completely sympathetic. It's like Chelsea fans have been through the mill the last 2 years, ever since sanctions. Really, like we've been put through the mill by circumstances that have been off the pitch, by the media, and then by ourselves, by our performances, and by some really bad decisions that have been made by the ownership and sporting directors as well. And Chelsea fans, are like, we've been through a lot. And I think, you know, I'm getting a bit tired of it. Chelsea Football Club is a proud club. It's a historic club. It's got a great history, not just the last 20 years, but beyond that. We've got fans who fought to keep this club going in the 1980s when it could have disappeared completely. I think, you know, yes, football works in cycles, and sometimes you have to go through a dip. But I think it's getting beyond the joke now. I think Chelsea fans have had enough of all the stuff, and I have. We need our identity back. You know, I mean, this is, I mean, it's not a good idea for Pochettino to be underperforming when Jose Mourinho is unemployed, you know.
We need to bring him in. Sorry to cut you off. We need to bring him in.
I mean, a lot of people are saying Mourinho till the end of the season as an interim manager with John Terry as his assistant. And
please.
I can't really disagree, honestly. Certainly, I don't know about permanent appointment, but certainly, like, if you want an interim manager, he's probably the best interim manager you could possibly get. If he was in charge, I would actually back us to win the cup final if he was manager.
Agreed.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? You know, he's unemployed right now, so, you know, it's not impossible. I wouldn't count. If they did make a change, I think that's probably what they would do, because you're not going to get a permanent replacement right now. And given how the Chelsea fans are turning, it's also a good PR move to win back the fans and get them on side, you know. But unlike Lampard, Mourinho is actually a top manager, so that's a big difference. So yeah, I know that's going to be talked about a lot by the fan base. I'm not out on Twitter at the moment, but I'm sure that it is. But thanks for your points, Forza. Really good stuff. Appreciate it. I'm now going to bring Frank up. I'll keep you up for a minute and. Until other people are going to come, we've got other people requesting. That's good. So, Frank's coming up right now. I don't know. Frank with a blue tick. Is it Frank Lampard? No, it's not. It'd be good if Frank Lampard was on Twitter and came up, wouldn't it?
It'd be interesting to see his thoughts in the game.
I would love to hear his thoughts. Actually, I will say this: there was a story tweeting the other day by this journalist who I trust, who was saying that there's been talks between Frank Lampard and the club about a role, not a coaching role, but a role.
I saw that, and I know who it is.
Yeah, I'm hoping that. I mean, that's another thing you could do immediately. Like, you bring him in a director role, kind of. That immediately adds a bit more credibility to Chelsea, because, you know, he's Chelsea. Yeah. He understands Chelsea. He's a leader. He's a good media guy. He's a good communicator. The fans trust him. He's good at spotting talent. He knows how to build teams, even if he's not good at coaching them. So, I mean, if you brought, say you brought Mourinho and John Terry as the coaching team, and then Lampard became a director, like that would be that wouldn't be a bad start. but anyway, we'll see what happens with that. So, Frank, what have you got to say?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. I hope everyone's doing okay. But I agree with you guys. I think I've been also that kind of guy that I was always saying, give Poch time, you know, a young squad is going to, like, somehow kick together. Just give him some time. He cannot just keep firing the coaches. But at the end of the day, he's not giving himself any chance, you know. He keeps making the same mistakes. He's not fixing anything. He sets up his team game after game with the same setup that, like, you see Wolves today. Where were they attacking? The Chelsea's left-hand side. They know it. Everyone knows it, except Poch. So I think he needs to go just because he's not giving himself any opportunity to improve. He's not improving. He's not changing. He's not. And then you guys just mentioned identity, right? Chelsea's identity. Sometimes you have to forget about talent, tactics, you know, positioning of players. You got to forget about everything. When you lose 4-1 against Liverpool the game before and you get humbled, Chelsea team should come home and whoever they're playing against, they need to destroy that team. That's identity. That's, you know, that's how Chelsea, I've always seen Chelsea playing, no matter where were they. You guys remember 10 years ago, like almost Chelsea finished 10th, right? And then, well, eight years ago, when Chelsea finished like 10th after winning the Premier League. But you guys remember when Tottenham came to Stamford Bridge fighting for the league, Chelsea destroyed them because they had identity. They were playing for Chelsea. They knew what it meant to play for Chelsea. They knew that Tottenham's not going to come here and beat us. No way. Even though we were doing bad that. So that mentality is gone. And I think that's on the coach. The coach needs to forget about everything when he gets humbled. And then tells his player the next game, you just go destroy that team in front of you. Just destroy them. And then what do we see when the Chelsea at the beginning of the game? Same exact Chelsea. Just cold. Nobody cares. Players don't, you know, they just don't care. I mean, I'm being harsh on some players, but some players don't know what it means to be play for Chelsea. Like Nicholas Jackson, Mudrick, you know, Madwick, even though he didn't play today. And even Gallagher, the guys that everyone says, oh, he's the boy from the club. He doesn't know what it means to play for Chelsea. Everyone is just so cold. They don't care. Like they lost four right now. They lost four by four goals the other game. They conceded 8 goals in 2 games. They don't care. They're just going to go walk out because they don't know what it means to play for Chelsea. They're going to come back the next game. They're going to make the same mistakes. No fighting, no courage, no nothing. So, you know what? At the end of the day, it's Poch has to go. I believe that's not going to fix anything because it's more than just the manager. I think the owners are the reasons why the majority of the blame has to go to the owners because they just destroyed this club, man. I mean, they don't know how to run the club. They came in, they had some like fantasy ideas about having a young squad and build it, and then they thought they were playing like some kind of FIFA. They don't know what it means to build a team. They don't know anything about the Premier League. As an American, I'm ashamed because these owners, even though they've showed they want to spend money, but they're spending it the wrong way and they're not learning from their mistakes. And if they don't learn soon, things will get bad to them. So that's all I have to say. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. And yeah, go Chelsea, I guess.
Thanks, Frank. Really good points again. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, absolutely agree. And yeah, I think it's a common theme amongst Chelsea fans. And you even got Sky now reporting that Chelsea fans have had enough. So that's a big thing. Right, I'm going to bring up the Chelsea Spot. Oh, I love the Chelsea Spot. Great. If you don't follow the Chelsea Spot, I give them a follow. They create really good content, lots of good stuff. They have a podcast, I think, as well, and a really good website. So they're really good guys. So I'm hoping that we can hear from them. Yes. Chelsea Spot, welcome.
Hey, what are you saying? Score, you good?
Yeah, well.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah,
I'm good. Rumble, is you good?
Yeah, not bad at all. Good, well, apart from the result.
Yeah, mate. Used to it, though, innit? Who cares? Whatever.
Every week. So what are your thoughts on like the result and what we need to do now?
What I want to say is, I'm not going to chat about the manager right now because everyone's chatting about the manager, and it's Poch, he's Spurs, so he's not going to get as much time as everyone else anyway. So, you know, we can change that. What I want to say is, and I'm not any more right than anyone else either, but I'm seeing a lot, and including, you know, in this space, online, in person, everything. People saying this is what's wrong, this person needs to go, we need to do this as a club, we need to get rid of these people as a club. None of us have a clue what's going on at the club. So we don't know who's doing what as a job, who's doing this as a job, who's doing that as a job. So I don't think it's really worth us all saying, oh, they don't know what it means to play for Chelsea. I mean, I think, Frank, no offence, a second ago, I think you just said Pot should have just told them to batter Wolves. What? Is that how footy works? Say, oh yeah, just batter Wolves and we'll batter them. None of us have a clue what's going on. So I don't think it's worth it, any of us just saying these people need sacking, that person needs sacking, what's this person doing? Why did this person sign that player? I think I'm no more right than anyone else. Something's got to change, obviously, but that's it. It's something. I don't think I know what it is. I don't think anyone, even Bowley and them lot at the club, know what it is. Otherwise, they'd do it. They don't want to be a crap team. So,
no, they don't. I mean, this is a point that I keep saying to people. Like, the owners want to win. They do. Like, I mean, the way you make money out of a football club is by the football club winning.
Yeah.
Especially a big football club like Chelsea. The more that Chelsea win, the more money that they make. And they can make way more money from Chelsea being in the Champions League, winning trophies, being a top team, than they can make from selling players. Like, you know,
yeah.
You can make huge money out of commercial deals, sponsorship, like prize money, all that from, you know, than you can from selling players. You make tons of money out of that because you get all the big deals. That's why they spent the money, because they want to win. And I know they want to win. They don't want to be in this position. So I think they want to win. They just don't think they know how to win. I think that's the thing. They haven't cracked the code in terms of how to win yet. I think they will. I mean, I did some research on Liverpool under FSG. Like, in the first 5 years of their ownership, they only qualified for the Champions League once.
Yeah.
Like, they finished, I think they finished eighth, sixth, second, sixth, and eighth. You know, and they spent money on players. I mean, they spent 35 million on Andy Carroll. They bought Christian Benteke and Mario Balotelli. They were awful for the first 5 years of their leadership.
What year did FSG take over Liverpool?
2010, November 2010.
So in that first however many years?
Yeah.
What changed is
they appointed a top-class sporting director in Michael Edwards, and they appointed a top-class manager in Jurgen Klopp. And that changed the whole thing. And I think that's what we need. That's where we are right now. Like, I think you put the right people in those positions, like advising the owners and leading the club, it would change. It's a lot of change, but I hope that the ownership are ambitious enough and smart enough that they realise that there's stuff that's not right at the club. And they will probably know, like you say, they will know that what's wrong more than we will, because they're at the club. They're involved in the club day to day, or some of them are anyway. And but things do need to change. That's 100% right. It's a good, very good point. Very good point. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that.
No, that's cool.
What do you think of that, Rambles?
Yeah, I mean, I've never bought into this. Some fans say, oh, the owners don't want to win. The owners aren't going to do anything. We're going to continue to decline. You know, as you say yourself, the way we make money is by being more successful. You know, Champions League brings in more revenue, brings in more TV deals, brings in more sponsorship opportunities and other opportunities. So it makes no sense. So for the club to keep moving forward, we need to keep winning.
Absolutely, that's right. And that's why I think they will ultimately change things. I don't think Benedict Bailly is as patient as Todd Bowley.
I think it's easy to look at other teams like Manchester City, like Arsenal, like Liverpool, who are doing very well now. But all those ownership groups have made a lot of mistakes along the way.
They have.
Especially right. Arsenal and Liverpool's. Man City's on paper probably looks not quite as bad. But obviously, they've got a lot of off-field issues, which might catch up with them sometime soon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, they took a couple of years to be a Champions League club. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, yeah, 2 years ago, Arsenal fans are protesting the current ownership. They wanted them out. They were protesting outside the stadium. There was like, Kroenke's out, Kroenke's out, you know. They finished eighth, I think, or something, or whatever, or fifth, or they've been just basically like where we are now, basically. And then suddenly they turned it round. Like, and, you know, they haven't suddenly become different owners overnight. You know, the same people are working at the club as well. The same sporting director, the same manager.
I think every ownership group goes through a period of getting things right and getting things wrong. And sometimes when you make a mistake, it can take quite a while for various reasons to kind of correct those mistakes.
I do think we've got smart owners. I do. I don't think they're stupid. I think they just need the right people advising them on how to run a football club and how to and on what Chelsea is as well. I think that's really important. That's why I'm quite grateful for Daniel Finkelstein at the club. I've been fortunate enough to have chats with him and stuff and met him. He's a proper Chelsea fan. He's been a fan since the 70s. He was a season ticket holder. He loves Chelsea, absolutely loves Chelsea. He knows what it means, and I know he'll be hurting today. And you know, he's kind of the fan liaison. He judges the views of the fans. He's on social media looking at the views of the fans. So he'll be seeing all this, reporting it back. I want to say that. So I was trying to bring Louis up, but it didn't seem to work. Not sure. I'll try and get him up again. I'll just try and request, because I want to get his views from the game. He's been at the game. I kind of feel sorry for him being at the game, honestly. I got offered a ticket for today, and I'm glad I turned it down now. I couldn't afford to go today. But, yeah, we'll try and get Louis up. In the meantime, let's get some other people up.
I'm here. Don't leave me.
Oh, here you go, Louis. All right.
How are you, buddy?
Where do you even start? I'm just walking to get some food with a mate after that, and that's, pretty much, yeah. My boxing coach is going to ask me, what do you have on Saturday and Sunday night, Louis? And I'm going to go, I'm not going to tell you. So look, I think there was if you don't laugh, you'll cry stage.
Yeah.
And there's now leaning more towards the I can't really laugh, I'm going to cry stage. Yeah. That was painful. And the fact is, I think, look, I was, you know, sitting at Matthew Harding, people going, you know, Pochettino out. And you know what? I understand it. If we're going to just break everything down, I mean, you guys have been chatting about it already. But there is a significant lack of ideas from the manager. And we were talking about it a few days ago. You know, if you want to cover your defensive frailties, play at the back, do this, make adapt, do what you need to do to get the results, which is what Chelsea need to be doing at the moment. And we failed to do that again. However, this goes far deeper than just getting rid of the manager, because if we're going to do that, people turn around and go, get rid of the manager. Okay, what's your solution? Bring a Mourinho. Okay, how's that going to work? Look, I'd love it. I'd love a Mourinho part three. Wear my heart on my sleeve. But then I also then think about it logically, you know, just not just as a fan. I look at this from a footballing standpoint to actually see us improve. And Mourinho comes in. What happens? Butts heads with the technical directors, butts heads with the ownership, because they want to have a yes man, someone who just do what they want to do, when they have no idea what they're doing. Lo and behold, he'll be sacked inside a year. Oh dear, what a shame. Where are we? Back to square one. The issue lies with the technical directors. Yeah. I'm not even going to use their names. I'm just going to refer to them as what they're behaving as, which is Tweedledee and Tweedledum. That's brutally honest.
I'm with you on that, mate.
The way they're behaving, the logic they're using, these are men that have worked in football. All due respect to them, how thick can you be? I know that's that might sound a semblance of, you know, harshness, and I completely understand that. And, you know, I know people might be shocked to say that I think that's harsh, considering, let's be honest, my history. But you know what? Overall, you know, it's all about learning and growing for me. And when it comes to learning and growing, those two have done sweet fuck all. It's now been 18 months. They've failed to deliver. They've failed in terms of their scouting processes. They've failed in teaching and getting the ownership to understand how football works, to be brutally honest. Because portfolios of kids will take you so far. I'll tell you where it'll take you. It'll take you further down the table. This game is not just a case of let's look at the singular result. This is just another example, much like Liverpool, of a fallout that is happening. This is all this is. And the quicker it changes, the better. You can get rid of the manager all you want. Fine. People want to do that. Let's just do that. Let's just bring in someone else. Who's going to walk into this mess? Oh, you know, we'll get a world-class manager. Let's look at Hansi Flick. Let's look at this guy. Let's get Thomas Tuchel. Yeah, that worked, didn't it, last time? That really works. Come on, guys. Like,
you're right. I hear you. Yeah.
The biggest issue.
The structure needs to change first. That's
exactly.
That's you've got, and there's people available. Like, there's people unemployed right now who are better than the people that we have in those roles. Like, Paul Mitchell is unemployed right now. He's unemployed. Michael Edwards is unemployed. I know he doesn't want to come back to a club, but make him an offer he can't refuse. Like, say you can work. You can work part time, or you don't have to work 5 days a week or something. I don't know. Just do it. Like, do what Man United did. They got people who were unavailable and they made them available.
But they won't do that.
That's how big clubs operate.
It is. But guess the biggest issue we got here now, though? We'll do that. That's more money going out. That's more money spent. And FFP will come and get us. We're between a rock and a hard place. All because the ownership didn't understand what they were walking into and refused to bring in the right assets to do so. And to be honest, like I said, we're never in the room. I always preach this. We are never in the room. But I'd like to think, you've spoken about Daniel Finkelstein, right? I really hope he's sitting there now on the phone to Bowley, on the phone to Igbali. Igbali, by the way, used to walk into the ground. I've not seen him do that for a very long time. So he knows what's going on, right? I hope he's on the phone to go, guys, listen, you need to change. You need to understand what you're doing. You can talk about how it works in baseball all you want. You can talk about how it worked with your portfolios. Yeah. You can talk about your financial loopholes. None of it is working.
Yeah.
Understand and develop. Look at the world you're in. This is not baseball. This needs to change.
I know that he won't be happy about this. I mean, his losses affect him as much as they affect us. He's a Chelsea fan.
Of course.
I hope you're right. I hope he does say something. Like, I mean, he's actually, that interesting fact about Daniel Finkelstein is he knows Michael Edwards. He used to work with him when he did all that data stuff before he was doing what he does now. Like, he worked with Michael Edwards, so he knows him.
I mean, you'd like to think that would work, but like I said, like, right now, right, the damage has now been done. There was an opportunity last summer to readdress the balance and look at basics. And again, me and you have spoken about this for the last 6 months. Yeah. You and I, look, we're very much on the same page when it comes to transfers and how we'd operate.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, logic fails to fall into this category of thinking. What it seems to be, you know, we were talking about, let's go all the way back when Thomas Tuchel was sacked. You know, Todd Bowley was giving a talk saying, you know, we want something to be more collaborative, okay? No, there's being collaborative and there's having understanding. I appreciate you want collaboration, all right? But there's collaboration and they're just going, yes, sir, no, sir, three bad tools, sir.
Yep.
That's the problem. And we've spoken about this in the past. You know, I'm repeating myself and, you know, I'm very sorry to be in the middle of the road so people are hearing background noise, I do apologise. But, you know, the whole situation here, everything we're doing is issue after issue after issue after issue. There's no fires being put out and it's just engulfing it. All Chelsea needed in April 2021, all we needed, or 2022, whatever year it was, it's at that point, it doesn't even matter. April 2022, right, all we needed was slight changes, slight tweaks. That was all that was needed. It was not perfect, but there was a structure and a culture that worked. That was the asset, because I'm going to talk in their terms now. That was the asset that Clear Lake Capital bought. They bought a company which was successful and running well. Needed tweaks, needed to be built into their own image. I appreciate that. Anyone who buys out a company would do the same. I completely understand that. You want to tweak it, you want to adapt it, make it look like you.
Yeah.
But you don't do that in 6 months. That is business basics.
I have my own theories why they did what they did, because they came in and, if you remember, we had all these issues of contracts. Obviously, Christensen and Rudiger were allowed to leave on freeze, and Kante, Kovacic and Jorginho and Mount were all running down their contracts. So I think basically, right, we've got to get these young guys in a long contract, so we're not in this situation again.
That's exactly what I think. That's exactly what happened as well. It's what, like, it's been reported that one of the reasons they've gone for long contracts is because they saw Rudiger and Christensen leave, and they couldn't believe they've been allowed to go into the last year of their contract.
At the same time with that, they were in negotiations for a contract before the sanctions were being put in place. Different world, who knows? A different world, they probably would have signed those contracts. But because they didn't know what was going on, and again, there were people who wanted to secure their future, they wanted to look after their families, they wanted to make sure they were protected. Guess what? They took the offers that were on the table. And again, I'm going to be very honest, in Rudiger's case, hello, Real Madrid, do you want to come play for us? Oh, absolutely, yes, please. I'm not going to lie, I'm a Chelsea fan. If I was a professional footballer, right, my dream would be to play for Chelsea. I'd love to play for Chelsea. I'd do anything I could to play for Chelsea. But I'm not going to lie, from a professional standpoint, I'm a CV. Hello, you've worked for Real Madrid? Oh, yeah, sure, yes, please. I'm not going to say no.
No, I don't blame Rudiger for leaving at all. Like, I think we've missed him a lot. Both on the pitch and for his mentality, his leadership, I think it would have been really, really useful to have him around. But I don't blame them for going. Like, they're professionals; they've got to look after themselves. That's ultimately what they've got to do, and I understand that. And we were under sanctions, and there was nothing we could do about it. But ultimately, I mean, they were in the last year of their contracts. So, like, if they'd had their contracts negotiated like 2 years before or a year before, they wouldn't have come to that situation anyway. I think that's what Clearlake were kind of like. This is insane. You can't wait until the last year of the contract to start renewing it. You know,
and also
the long contracts thing comes from American sports as well. Like, that's the whole thing in American sports. I'm not saying I agree with it at all. I'm not at all saying I agree with it, but that's why that happened. But yeah, you're right. As always, I agree with you, Louis. Some good points.
I appreciate
that. There's got to be some structural change. Absolutely, I think. And I think it's pretty clear now that, and I've just shared a story as well from Fraser Fletcher. Pochettino is facing serious pressure. Not all are aligned in the background. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Like, when you've got two sporting directors, I mean, it just makes no sense to me. You can't have two sporting directors.
Absolutely.
They're competing for, like, oh, look, I want to sign my player. Have one person who is accountable for everything. This is best in class.
When you sit down, that's what they said, best in class. You've hit the nail on the head there. It's this whole marketing thing. And you can, obviously, I appreciate the club's going to change and we are become more and more American. So it makes us more, quote unquote, sellable, right? But again, prime example of being able to sell the club. I walked past the megastore on the way to where I am now. And I looked over and there was a queue, like it was at the Apple store for the new iPhone. I was like, look, this isn't an attack on anyone who went in the megastore. You do what you want with your money, okay? And I appreciate some people were there for the day out. That's absolutely fine. But those are the people that they want. And that's what's going to make us more sellable and allow people to spend more money. They don't want guys like me who literally went in and spent £3. By the way, £3 on a cup of tea. Bloody hell. You know? Yeah. On a cup of tea. They don't want people like me going in. They want people that are going to go and buy absolutely everything. But the fact is, they've gone, you've said that, you know, they want best in class. That's a direct quote from how that when they hired
the transfer
dream team. It's a direct quote.
Absolutely.
And they have no bloody idea what they're talking about. Right?
They have not hired best in class in any footballing position. Apart from Joe Shields. Joe Shields, I would say, is a best in class. He's very, very good. Very, very good scout.
Yeah, Joe Shields is excellent.
He's the best hire they've made on the football side. Like, absolutely, like, you know, we should be listening to him because he wanted Cole Palmer. He pushed for Cole Palmer. That's been one of our best signings. So, and he's not a sporting director. He's not in that role. He's in the role that he's suited for, which is scouting. And he's very, very good at it. So that's the whole point. You know, he's doing the job that he's qualified to do and that he's best in class at. And that's what we need in the management position. We need in the sporting director's position. Because I don't think any of the other hires are best in class people.
I think they were trying to be too clever. You know, we've got all these different people in. We've got to have the dream team. You know, all this multi-club model. But you need one person who's in charge. This is the boss. This is the one who has the final say and everything.
There's one guy that I found out about the other day. I was doing research for an article. He was the CEO of RB Leipzig. Then he got made CEO of the whole football network in Red Bull, the whole Red Bull football network. Very successful in both. Saw Leipzig go up like two divisions and then finish second in the Bundesliga and get to a Champions League semi-final. And then he got put in charge of the Red Bull Formula One team as well as the football. So he's now in charge of both. And they're winning.
Shall I tell you one thing they've done there? Just before I go, by the way, guys, once I've gone and I'll stop talking, please be sharp and speak to the score in the Rumble. Because I want to hear everyone to get to say that piece. It would be really good to get that.
Yeah, I'm going
to
add the next speaker while you're speaking.
Amazing. But the big thing here, guys, is guess what they did? And again, me and score said this a year ago. It's amazing what you can do in logic, right? You do get the first bit right. Once you've got the first bit right, i.e. Chelsea Football Club, then you can bang on about Strasbourg and Portuguese teams and your multi nomado and all that sort of stuff, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We ain't got the first bit right. So, you know, let's see what happens. I don't want to be, you know, no doubt I'll be repeating myself after the next game. But, yeah, that's all I've got to say, really. But, yeah, guys, please do come up and chat with the score on Rambles. They've done a fantastic job. And it's probably when we talk about getting the first bit right, we've got the podcast right and we've got this. This is the Chelsea Echo multi-club model. And these two are doing it absolutely fantastically. So maybe Chelsea can take a nut out of our book and how it gets done. But anyway,
thank you, Louis.
See you later.
Thanks, Louis. Thanks as always.
So we've got Charbel here. Charbel, unmute yourself. I'd love to hear what you've got to say.
So it's got to the point now where emotions aren't really felt. It's just being numb. Like seeing us concede 8 in 2 games, and then one of which against Wolves, who realistically we should be beating. And it's like you're looking at this team of players, and it's mainly the Joe Shields signings that are really performing, and the other signings that have been brought in by Stewart and Winstanley haven't really hit the ground running. See, that's where I think Joe Shields should be the main person that we should be sourcing players off, because I mean you look at Cole Palmer, and he's like the Hazard of that 15-16 season. Like, that actually made stuff happen for us, even though we finished tumultuously. But then, like, you look at all the players that we bring in, and most of which have like injury records spanning like 2 or 3 years, and like we're looking about how these players are being researched when they've got long injury crises, and it's just annoying because I want players that want to be available for us like week in, week out, and not just every other game we just get another injury, and it's just shambolic. And then Poch can't really do anything because he's playing Chilwell at left wing. Well, we have two wingers there. Like, it's just a joke. Like, we just turned so bad and we've regressed so badly since that Champions League final.
Yeah, it is sad to see, isn't it? It's almost painful to watch that Champions League run now, just thinking about what's happened since, you know, like, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not just the Chelsea thing. If you look at some of the players from that night, Mendy's regressed, Havertz, Mount, they've all kind of declined massively.
They have, haven't they? I mean, that's a good point. Mendy is not even remotely the same keeper that he was then. Mason Mount has been 12 games, no goals, no assists for Man United. He has regressed. Like, it's that sale actually looks a smarter decision now than it did, you know, last year.
I've seen something that says Poch has yet to do any interviews of the media or his press conference.
Really? Mm.
He's yet to do it.
Wow. That's interesting. That is interesting. That's a sign. Clearly things are not... He might be having the players in the dressing room and having a rollicking at them. I wouldn't be surprised. Or something else could be happening, or it could be both.
I mean,
but this is not a good sign, you know, that he's... Yeah, it's not good. I'm sure we're going to start getting the stories coming out now in the media about dressing room unrest and all this kind of thing, and players not happy and blah 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 blah.
Oh, there you go, you're back. the connection has come.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get stories of, you know, dressing room unrest and people, players not happy. And, you know, of course, Bell Silver's tweet will be, will probably be shared as well around. Like, that's, it's quite clear that she thinks they should change managers.
I mean, if she's saying that, she probably got an insight to what Thiago and various other players are thinking.
Yeah, but Thiago Silva's a winner.
I mean, he's not had a, I'll be honest, Thiago Silva's not had the best, not had his best season. And he probably wasn't that great today, to be honest. But he is a winner, and he has standards, and he loves Chelsea. I mean, it's quite clear that he loves Chelsea, and obviously he won't like what's going on at the club right now. And it will, I mean, he's leaving in the summer. That's pretty much been confirmed. But it's sad, you know, that we haven't been able to deliver him a team that could have won things. He could have won other trophies with. He was very much also very close to Tuchel. I think that sacking Tuchel had an effect as well for him. And so it's, well, we'll see what happens. You know, I think, you know, the fact that Pochettino hasn't even spoken to the media yet is I mean, how long ago did the game finish?
Finished around four.
Yeah, that's 45 minutes ago. Yeah. I mean, that's a crikey. That's interesting. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. We'll try to keep you abreast on that if things change right now.
If
there is an announcement of Poch leaving, we might have an emergency space. We'll have to talk to Louis about that, but we might do that. But so we'll see what happens. But thanks, Carl, for your views. Really appreciate you coming up and sharing. I'm going to bring on the next. I'm going to bring up the next guy, Ronnie, CFC Ronnie. I'm going to add him. Rambles, just some more thoughts on that. What do you think about that? You know, Poch not doing his press conference stuff yet.
That could be where he's in the dressing room giving the players rollicking, or maybe he's speaking to the owners and he could be relieved of his duties tonight.
Yeah, I think that's about right. It could be both, of course.
I personally don't think he's got long left. I think after that performance and the way the boos were going throughout the game, I really can't see him lasting too much longer. Because I just think the damage is irreparable now. As far as Pochettino goes, I don't think he can turn things around.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we've got the cut replay midweek. Whether they give him that game or not, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
I mean, the thing which has really frustrated me is you can't always compare different games, but I've looked at other teams going away from home, like Luton yesterday. They went to Newcastle and scored four goals. We were absolutely battered at Newcastle. Now, I don't think some of these teams have got better teams and better squads than we've got. But yeah, they're going away from home and they're putting in a more competitive performance. Whereas we're going away from home and we just look weak and feeble. And for me, that comes down to the manager. You know, that comes down to the setup. You know, we're easy to play against.
We are at the moment. Yeah.
And even today, we could have conceded five or six today.
Yeah, it's our defenders are better than that. I mean, I refuse to believe that, you know, the centre backs that we have are as bad as they're playing at the moment. You know, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Actually, this reminds me of what Chelsea were like, and this is one of Chelsea under Frank Lampard before Tuchel took over. Yes. We had a lot of talented players, but tactically they weren't set up well, so we were conceding a lot of goals. We were losing games that we should win. And tactically, we just didn't look at it. And Tuchel comes in, and the first game, he'd had one training session with them, and you could already see the difference tactically. It was, I remember, I'll never forget that. And it was against Wolves, funnily enough, at home. You know, immediately we just looked completely different. And that's the difference, you know, that could be the difference with this team. You might have a manager, a tactical manager, come in, have a couple of training sessions with them, and suddenly we look a completely different team. because we've got, because we're tactically organised. You know, I mean, Cole Palmer's played for Pep Guardiola. What he must think of Pochettino, I just don't know. You know, like, you know, but anyway, we've got Ronnie up. So, Ronnie, let us know your thoughts. Just unmute yourself and we can hear from you. We've got you. No? Okay, I'll wait for Ronnie to unmute himself. But any more thoughts, Rambles?
Hello.
Ah, Ronnie. Great.
Yeah.
What have you got to say?
Well, I'm first time ever, I'm Pochettino out. I've had enough, I think. I've never talked to him. I don't think the Stamford Bridge crowd have ever talked to him. The defence doesn't look like they know what they're doing. The midfield looks disjointed, and we don't look like we do what we're doing up front. It's like they don't do any training. We don't look like a team at all.
I don't know. Have you been at the game? Or
no, I live in Spain now. I've moved to Spain.
Oh, fair play. I respect that.
I'm in Valencia.
Oh, fantastic. That's lovely. Yeah, probably better than being at Stamford Bridge right now.
we're talking about the young players. But I remember when we had Kovacic and Jorginho, and we were just dying to get rid of Havertz, and we were just dying for a change. And I really like some of these young players. I do think the manager needs to train, and we need a style of play, and we need a... I don't know. I think a change of manager, I don't know who. I know you're going to say who. I haven't got a clue. I mean, that's the problem. We've had all the best managers already, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true, actually. You know, we went through them all under Roman, didn't we? Like, you know, we had Mourinho and then Carlo Ancelotti and then Conte and Tuchel, you know, and we had all these top managers.
It all just seems a bit Spursy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Losing at home to Wolves like this.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Start, like I say, the defence, the midfield, we should be better in midfield. That midfield looks so strong on paper.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, exactly. I mean, that midfield should be really strong.
When was the last time we dominated midfield?
Yeah, I mean, Caicedo was one of the best midfielders in the Premier League last year. He was fantastic. I remember he played against Liverpool. And he absolutely dominated the game. He was unbelievable.
I was so excited when he signed Enzo.
He hasn't lost that ability.
No.
But he looks like he's lacking confidence. And he looks like he's not got a clue where he's meant to be tactically. And that's
and teams have walked through it, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And Enzo Fernandez, we know how good he is.
Yeah.
He's been completely wasted. That's one of my biggest gripes, you know, with Pochettino. He's like, you've got this world-class player and you're not using him properly. You're not building around him. The midfield should be built around him. He's our best midfielder. Like, and so him and Caicedo should be playing closer together. He should be allowed to control games, dictate games.
It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
It really should.
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure.
First time ever, I'm Pochettino out, I think. And I don't like saying it.
No,
I
think a lot of people are Pochettino out for the first time today.
I think the majority are now leaning towards Pochettino to go.
Yeah, I think it's starting to turn, isn't it?
I'd go before the replay.
Yeah, I mean, there are people available, you know, who could come in for an interim job, but we'll see what happens with that. But okay. I'm sure we'll hear something more about that in the next few days, maybe in the next few hours even.
Villa away just sounds like a nightmare, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I mean, that press conference thing, interesting. I don't know what's going on. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie.
All right.
I'm going to bring Archie up now. I'm always interested to hear what Archie has to say. Right. Yeah, we'll get Archie up. I think it's fair to say that most Chelsea fans are frustrated now and are getting to the point where they've had enough and want something to change. So, Archie, what are your thoughts?
Afternoon. Hello, guys. Just driving back from the game. honestly, I'm not even cross. I mean, I haven't gone to Stamford Bridge for so long, I can't remember us ever singing, we're fucking shit. I mean, that's just embarrassing. And it's not necessarily losing, right? We all lose football matches, but it's the fact that it's a culmination of that Liverpool performance followed by this. And like, I have to credit Wolves. I thought they were excellent. I mean, we obviously made them look much better, but Gary O'Neill managed a team where he basically got employed 5 days before the season started. And they just look like a proper team in comparison to us. And that's what's so disparaging. That's what's so disheartening about the whole situation. And I know that, you know, one has to add context and the injuries and signings, whatever it may be, but it kind of, it's not enough. Do you know what I mean? There's enough good players out there. And I know that when you win as a team. And I know when you lose as a team. But to a man today, I can't think of anyone that played well. And that's not the first time that's happened this season. It's all right if there's a game and two or three players have a shocker and, you know, you can kind of understand it, or if it's individual mistakes, but it just seemed collectively. And what was so weird watching it, the game, was the fact that there was so much gesticulating going on between the players, and it almost as if they were trying to communicate with each other as in what to do, like where to go, where to move. Sterling and Chilwell look like they've never played together before, and I'm pretty sure they probably would have done both for Chelsea and England. And yet they spent most of the match screaming at each other, not really knowing what to do. And they all just seemed a bit lost. And, you know, I still think there's a few players here who are a bit dodgy and, you know, who might need to go in the summer. That's fair enough. But there are enough good players on that pitch to have got a result against Wolves. And at the moment,
100%, 100%.
At the moment, we, you know, we look like a team that are 11th or 12th or whatever we are. And sadly, you know, the table doesn't lie. And yes, you know, there have been performances earlier on the season where we did all right and we could have got more points. But fundamentally, it all evens itself out at the end of the season. And we are just a mid-table team at the moment. And is Pochettino to blame? Yeah, hugely. But so are the board, so are the owners, so are the players. You know, it is a collective. The players weren't good enough today. Pochettino hasn't been good enough for a while now. And sadly, because I'm not a massive fan of constantly firing managers and rehiring, but I don't know what other solution there is right now, because as much as, you know, the sporting directors probably need to go at some point, I don't know what else you can do to change or turn this around, because it just looked like the players are devoid of confidence and devoid of any real understanding of what they're doing. And if that is the case, then that really is down to the manager.
Yes, absolutely. And that's it. I mean, they're devoid of confidence. And like you say, they don't seem to know where they're meant to be tactically. It's like they don't know where they have to be, and they're trying to have to figure it out on the pitch, which is not good enough. Again, it reminds me of Frank Lampard's, you know, Frank Lampard last season, and also the end of Frank Lampard's first spell, where players didn't seem to know where they were meant to be. And they were just trying to figure it out on the pitch. And you can't have that. Especially not in the modern game, because players need tactical instructions, especially young players, because they're still learning the game. You know, you've got to remember, somebody's a 21, 22, 20, you know, they need confidence from the manager, and they need to know what their roles are. And they don't. And he's almost like, he's sending them out, like you say, somebody else said earlier, he's just sending them out, like, go get him today, you know, like.
Also, the one thing I would say is watching Pedro Neto live, I mean, I know that his hamstrings or whatever are made of glass, but my God, if that guy stays fit, he is definitely going to a top three team next season. He is.
Yeah, I've actually been saying, like, I think if we don't get Elise, he's the guy we should go for if we don't get Elise.
He's a brilliant player.
Yeah, fantastic player. Yeah, absolutely. So, thanks, Archie.
There's also another interesting point on Wolves. They lost their best player, Nunes, on deadline day. So, you know, Gary Neal really walked into a really tough situation. And yet he seems to be getting the very best out of the limited squad.
I'm very impressed with Gary O'Neill as a manager generally. He was brilliant at Bournemouth last year. Harsh to get sacked, I think. And now he's doing a really good job at Wolves, so I think you've got to give him credit. He's a good manager, and he's doing a good job at Wolves. Because they had no money, and they were in financial fair play. They weren't able to spend in January because of the PSR rules. And but he's built a good team in a solid system, you know, and it works. It works for them. So credit to him. I've got to give credit to him because he's a manager that I like a lot. I'm not saying he's a Chelsea manager, but he's definitely a very good Premier League manager, and he deserves credit at the moment for what he's been doing. Okay, we're getting close to the end, so I think there's one. I think we'll get one more guy up. Maybe not. So okay, yes. We've gone for an hour, so we've gone for a pretty long show now. So thanks, everyone who's come up. Really appreciate you all coming up and sharing your views. It's really, really good to hear from everyone. I understand everyone's frustration. I think everyone has had enough. Everyone's had enough, not just of the manager, but I think of the shambles at Chelsea Football Club, from the owners, from the sporting directors, from the manager, everything. It's just, it's enough. Chelsea deserves better than this. Chelsea fans deserve better than this, I think. And things have to change, and they have to start listening to us. Everyone who's spoken today, thank you. Really grateful. Good to hear everyone's views. Good to get our frustrations out as well. Let's hope that things can change soon. So thanks, Rambles, as well, for being a great co-host again, as always. Thanks, everyone. And up the Chelsea.